On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit. Hello, y'all. Welcome
Hola.
Welcome to Tall Can Sports.
Hey. Coming to you out of a septic tank, apparently.
If you lift it up a little and then open it.
And I'm heavy thumbed. Said no one ever.
Okay. How's it going, man?
It's outstanding. What about you?
Not bad. We both, I think, I don't know if we're going to have the same take on it. But
we both want to talk about the World Baseball Classic? Yes.
Far more often than we have been, yeah. No. When I forwarded you this piece, it seemed like you were interested in it. I don't know if it was the same perspective that I have on it, but the New York Knicks.
In a New York minute. Wow.
Everything can change, man.
With a gut shot, moose.
I don't think that's how that goes.
Okay.
Not a lot of gut shot moose in New York. I have totally...
Knicks.
New York Knicks.
Sorry about that.
Recently played a game where during the warm-up and during the first half, they played no music, had no organ, played like they had no organ.
Void of organs.
Yeah, exactly. And it was I don't know if you had a chance to see any of the game. I saw a bit of the highlights. I watched a little bit of on YouTube. It was a different kind of... They were trying to, I guess, simulate a throwback kind of thing, but a couple of the players were upset.
All the players were... Well,
one more than the rest of them.
Draymond Green.
Yeah,
but there was many who were not happy. I didn't hear anybody say, I loved it.
No. But I did see some fans online who were in the building said they enjoyed it, thought it was a little something different. Whether or not you'd want to see it every night is you know, up for some debate. But do you not feel like maybe we've gone a little overboard?
For sure. Way too much in-house production.
Like, if you're there, and I get there's a certain amount of it that is, like, you and I are both hockey-first guys, and it's not nearly to the same extent in hockey that it is in basketball. Baseball, again, nothing goes on during play. Football, nothing going on during play. Basketball, that music and the drums and the defense and all that stuff during... If you can't enjoy a game without some drum beat telling you when to be excited and when to say this and that, you're probably not really the type of person that this is geared towards to begin with. Now, you can certainly expand the enjoyment for the casual fan by including those things. And really, if you're just trying to get people in the door, those are the sorts of things you should be doing.
Well, to me, what happens there is, and there's a couple things. For me, that is the people who are showing up there not interested in the sport. Right? Those are the ones you got to entertain them because they're not entertained by what you have on the floor or right. ice or field.
So let's I'm going to let you finish it because let's do that first. Let's look at this from a fan perspective first and then look at it from an athlete perspective.
Well, what was interesting in that article, though, was who's the music for?
Right. Because if you listen to Draymond Green,
it's for him.
It's for the players. I don't know how to play without music. Well, then you suck at your job.
I think you played college. I think you did a bunch of things where...
Yeah, and they would tell you, though, and I think it's to different levels that in college, I don't know what college you went to, but some of the big-time ones, they probably do produce it like an NBA game, right? But if you played in high school, you played whatever, they probably have a stereo on during warm-ups, but
somebody's
they don't
got
have
their phone
these...
hooked up to the...
Right. Just like your pickup game on Thursday night. You didn't come up with this. You didn't come up with this kind of well-produced, yeah. I need this to be able to...
To get up for it. Right. I need to have some noise and I need to have some...
So as you circle back to, because you're right, it's a question, and we'll share the article in all the usual places along with in the show notes for this show at tallcanaudio.com. But they do ask, who was this more for? And if we start to look around, is there anything, if you're not a baseball fan... Is there going to be anything more dull in the world than a baseball game? There's none of these sorts of things going on, right? Right. Like in hockey, they'll do the Timbits game during the intermission or the, you know, here they do that great Canadian prime minister race or the goalie race in some places, things like that to keep stuff going on during whistles. And what, but in baseball, man, if you're not there for the baseball, you're probably not having a good time, right?
Right.
The pace of the game, the way it's presented. The NFL, I got to be honest with you, I've never been to an NFL game, been to a ton of CFL games.
Yep.
But it's similar. There's not a lot going on.
Nothing during the play.
Right. The NLL.
Oh, no, see.
Awesome.
Now they play the music right
through.
Right through during games. And I don't like it. And I'm a lacrosse guy.
Well, that's probably why you don't like it. Me as a more casual lacrosse guy, now I'm speaking against my point to the NBA, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of...
Okay, but no, and you're actually supporting the point of...
I'm a casual fan.
As a casual guy who's not there to see the finer points of lacrosse.
Yep.
Yeah, you want to be entertained. You want to have diversions.
Right. So when you look at... And these are the sorts of things that drive me crazy, and I think we'll spend a little time here on hockey because, you know... We like hockey.
We like hockey.
The things that they do.
And occasionally girls.
Third, though.
Yeah, that is third.
when you start to look at things like, if you remember at one point, the Carolina Hurricanes were the first to put cheerleaders.
Yeah, garbage. Don't give me that.
Right. But it spread a little bit across some of the U.S. teams, and you kind of look down your nose at it, and people are going to get up in arms here. Because it looks like we're always picking on the same market. Edmonton was the first team to decide in Canada, yeah, the Ice Girls, that's a good idea. And you go, you don't fucking need that here.
Okay, but
people here dig the game.
So, but Ice Girls, to me, there's a difference between, I don't want to see anybody, you see the junior
Edmonton
hockey
Edmonton had cheerleaders for a season.
The cheerleaders garbage.
Yeah.
I don't need any cheerleaders.
Now, is
Ice
it any
girls,
different?
The ones who come out and clean.
Yeah,
you know,
the Leafs did that for a while. The Leafs had girls in...
Yoga pants.
Yeah, exactly. Out to shovel the ice and things like that. And you go... Okay, I see what you're going for here, right?
Yeah. Like, well, and then here, of course, here in Ottawa, they had ice girls and ice guys out there
clean
it, and you're like,
you're killing this for me.
Yeah. Well, and now I'm not going to lie to you. If just to segue for a second, cheerleaders, I go to the Red Blacks games all the time.
Sure.
Love the cheerleaders,
but
man.
It's part of the culture, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's not a market thing.
No, and it's athletic, good-looking women. And,
but that's not a market thing. Whether you're in Dallas, Texas,
yep.
or Ottawa, Canada,
you're right.
You're seeing cheerleaders, right? Whereas in hockey,
I don't want it.
Yeah, you're trying to drum up interest in Carolina by showing them something familiar.
Because I go to 67's games,
mm-hmm.
and they have them. And so then I'm there, and I'm generic middle-aged guy.
Yeah.
And these cheerleaders at junior games are
same age as the players.
Exactly. They're like 15, 16, 17.
And I'm uncomfortable.
And I don't want to see 15-year-olds fight, and I don't want to see them barely clothed.
Right. No, it's an interesting thing where you kind of go, what do you need from an
in-house?
Yeah, I was going to say in-arena, but in-house is much easier. experience, and it kind of depends on your level of interest in the sport, as we're both going out of wanted in hockey. What I can say to you right now is for the last 2 years, the Leafs have had a new in-house experience, and they carried
it's called, it's called winning.
That's only been half a year.
Okay.
not even. Really, October or November and December were great, and everything else has been rough. As part of the turnover, right, the Shanna plan, everything went. Scouts went. In-house went. Everything was cleaned right out. And they took
like
it
your
with,
bowels.
On a good day, yeah. So any...
good scouring.
got a good bidet installed at the ACC and just cleaned her all right out. When we were at the... what was it? The Centennial Classic. They carried it all with them. And you hear it on TV, but that's the only live Leaf game I've been to in the last season and a half down in Toronto. I used to go quite a bit. I haven't been lately. It is
living 400 kilometers away.
Worst, whitest nightclub you've ever seen. And yeah, you are not catering to a hockey fan. Now, again, maybe that's the point. You're trying to bring in people who aren't.
Well,
but
you,
it's,
you have people,
it's all
you have people saying, yes.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
Like, because you know what? You go to a hockey game, you expect all the cliches a little bit, right? You expect the organ, and you expect
you want
the good old hockey
Gary
game.
Glitter, you know, rock and roll part two.
Right. Don't try and play all these remixed techno. It's trash.
So at what point do you go, I want to bring in new clientele.
Yeah.
At the expense of alienating the hardcore,
but don't you,
100-year-old
right,
ones that we've had.
It's like that across the board, though, right? Where you're going to go either way. You're a hardcore hockey fan. You've
I'd
had
be
Leaf
better,
season
I'd be
tickets
better off
for 20
if you didn't
seasons.
Play that shit music, though.
Sure. But we don't care about you because you're going to come anyway. Right?
You know what? If you give me if you play music that's going to give me a stroke or a seizure,
probably
you
should see
won't.
Some of the season ticket holders in Toronto, right, that have been there since.
They maybe already having them and you have no idea.
That's how they became fans.
Yes.
Suffered a stroke.
Yeah. Oh, I'm a Leaf
woke
fan.
Woke up as a Leaf fan. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, it's – what is your – because I don't think either one of us are actually pushing for – pro sports teams across the league to do full-time what New York did this
no,
one
no, no,
time.
No. But you know what? I'm going to and you know what? Here in Ottawa, they talk about, you know, how quiet the crowd can be. This crowd can be incredibly loud, too. And we've touched on a bunch of times I've been where the crowd is activated and going. We need to see something. That's yeah. what it is.
Yep.
Other than that, at a hockey game, I'm watching it.
Do they do, and I've been to enough Sens games, I should know this, I don't remember, but in Toronto they get like Daryl Sittler or some C-level celebrity up on the big screen that they've pre-recorded months ago going, hey Toronto, in at the count of three, everybody get loud. And then he counts it down and then the screen's got these big flashing, like, get loud and you're all supposed to
are these, you know, hands, clown hands,
yes.
clap, yeah.
Stop it. When you give me something to cheer about,
honestly,
I'll cheer,
in
man.
In those Leaf-Sens playoffs games of the early 2000s,
yeah.
you'd have Matthew Perry or something along those lines, right? Going, you're like, oh,
shut up, Chandler.
Yeah, I'd rather we didn't show that, but he's from here, so.
Yeah, no, they're awful and they're fake. And they're if those are the people you're trying to activate, maybe yeah. it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if they weren't.
Yeah, so to answer your awkwardly yet to be asked question, I love to go. To see, I like to hear the skate cuts on the ice.
Yeah,
right. That sort of stuff.
It's crazy.
And you know what?
Ottawa's got that mic'd.
And when
it's awesome.
And when you have something to cheer about, trust you.
Yeah,
I'm gonna get up and cheer.
I'll cheer.
Right.
Yeah.
Other than that, if you and I are there,
yeah,
we're having a beer, we're shooting the breeze,
watching the play.
What happens yeah. with that overproduced?
Yeah, you're killing
super
me.
Loud volume. You're killing, to me, you're killing my in-house experience because
yeah.
I can't speak to the people I'm with.
Yeah.
And without having some stupid shit going on where they want me to do whatever and I don't do it. So.
Well, so you made fun of me a little bit when I forwarded this on to you. Yeah. And I said, you know what? I could stand to hear a little more of the old traditional organ and you sent back.
Yeah, no, I wasn't making fun of you.
Boston to me. and fuck the Bruins, right? But Boston does a great in-house thing where I bet you well over half of their music in between whistles and coming back from is on the organ. But the guy doing it is mixing in the classic hockey stuff that dun, 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 with modern music that he's playing on the organ. You really got to be listening to pick it up, but right. He's playing the newest thing by Rihanna on the organ or something. You kind of go, yeah, that's kind of funny, right? And it fits here.
But that is classic. And I sent you on some Chicago stuff.
Yep.
Bring on the Hawks, Lady of Spain. That's some Hartford Whalers. Brass Bonanza. Come on, honestly. But that is, and the organ in Chicago, the old Chicago Stadium, right? That was the largest of its type ever created.
Yeah.
Right?
Chicago
and the sound
had the
was
biggest organ. Everyone
sure.
was jealous
and
of their
it
organ.
Was, yeah. And it was, well, that's
a position I'm pretty comfortable with.
Black Hawk with that very stern look on his face.
I'm sorry, Black, what was the largest organ?
Hawk.
The Black Hawk was the largest organ.
He's looking around saying, you know what, if you only knew. So to me, but that's classic.
Yeah. And that's hockey. And that's kind of part of it. But I get it. If you're trying to sell the game in Tampa Bay, but stop trying to sell it to me in Toronto. I already paid my $210 to be here.
Yeah.
Shut it off.
I don't need your shit.
Right.
Now, and again, kids like it. You know, who is it you see up and dancing? It's chicks with big tits and little kids.
And God bless them.
Right.
Both groups, really.
Of them.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you know what?
You have another side of the arena where it's turned down.
Exactly. And some of those ones, the little kids are actually in the sweaters.
Okay.
Look how happy they are. My God. All of them, really.
Yeah. Everybody's happy
so,
at that.
So to me, I would like less. But you're, as you've said many times, they're not catering to me.
Right. You're going to go either way.
I want to hear the guy say, hey, fuck you, fucker.
That is, I don't know how many arenas do this, and I've noticed it twice now. The last, Ottawa's got the ice mic'd.
Yeah.
Toronto doesn't do that. If you're in the building, you can't hear everything. You're certainly not hearing play-by-play or whatever. But you can hear the blades on the ice. You can hear certain little, hey, right? Like someone calling off for.
Yeah.
Honestly, I haven't really heard a lot of voices on it. I'm not sure how they're doing that, whether it's good or bad, right? Obviously, you'd expect to hear a ton of cursing and stuff like that if it's cranked right up. But they've got the play mic'd and there's no music going, there's nothing else, but you hear kind of the blades going up and down the ice and the passes and the whatever. It's really cool. I don't know how many arenas are doing that, if it's become a norm, but that's something Ottawa's doing really well, and it does. It kind of keeps that feel of I'm in a very small arena, I'm much closer to the ice. And those little things are worth keeping around, but man, there's a lot of shit that's happening and to me, Toronto. Montreal is the same way. Montreal, during their commercials, during their warm-ups, it's all techno and whatever. But during the game, they go classic hockey. Toronto has gone completely worst nightclub in Toronto is what they're shooting
for. And you know what?
For.
And later this month, I'll be in Montreal for a Sens-Canadiens game. And I haven't been to the Bell Centre. I've been to the Forum back in the day.
Yeah. For a hockey game.
For hockey games.
Yeah, we saw a fight there.
Yeah, we saw a fight and I've seen a concert.
A couple concerts.
This will be my first time since the switch from the Forum to see a game. But Montreal crowds, they're into it. They're always.
Again, though, that's a crowd that doesn't need to be encouraged to cheer.
This is it.
I'll tell you when I'm excited, right?
I don't want that. My question to you is, and it's we didn't talk about it, and it's really just an off the cuff and it's a short thing.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to know what you think about Josh Hosain with his.
Number 66. I don't really get the problem. I mean, you're kind of, I guess, why would you do it?
There's only so many numbers, I guess. Okay, this is it, right? Wilf Paimon saying to Gretzky, hey, man, what do you...
Yeah.
what are you doing with that 99 thing over there, man? That's my number.
A couple of years back, there was a kid at World Juniors wearing 99 and white skates playing for Russia. And I remember Pierre Maguire just every time he saw him, just staring at him. What is this guy's problem, right? Like, what is,
yeah.
But to me, 66 isn't 99. And I kind of...
No, I get it. I get it. But to me, that's the thing, right? The league has said, 99.
Yeah, no one's wearing it. That's retired league-wide.
Don't do it.
Yeah,
can't do it. You can't, And so I get it. But I think it's kind of an... You know, it's one of those things where you go.
Well, because this kid also has a reputation.
You could be 67. You could be 65.
Come on, be 69. It's going to be hilarious, right?
Okay. Yeah, do you see any of those?
Not enough.
Any? I can't think of. I can't think of a 69.
There was a few in the XFL back in the day.
So, anyways, I just he's a
he's got a history though. Like, and I don't know all of it, but he's got this kind of
vibe.
This kid, and you don't know if he's gonna be what. Then you show up wearing 66. And it's been his number for a while, and no one's really cared. And I don't really care.
Well, the other,
but if you've already kind of got a target on your back, would you not just go, right. yeah, I'll just
and,
be
And so they were talking about it and saying, yeah, you know what? He's getting roasted in game, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Like the other night.
Oh, nice play, Mario.
Yeah, the other night he was a minus three, and that's what he said. Yeah, that's a great dash three, Mario. Way to go, buddy. You know, and those sorts of things. You know,
yeah,
just
for sure. But I don't really, because there's – so do we also need to – frankly, number 9 and number 4 need to be retired before number 66 league-wide if we're doing that, right? Like lots of players still wear 4, lots of players still wear 9.
And I think that – I get what you're saying, right? The whole – whether it's Howe and Richard and Orr, whatever it is you're looking at in that.
Yeah.
You are talking about those are numbers that have been worn by everybody – a pile of greats, right?
Yep.
Like, honestly, well, Richard both shared it, I think, right?
Yep.
So to me, it's just, and as you go through, whereas the 66, there's only, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm not saying retire it. I'm certainly not suggesting that. But to me, you're like, hey, kid, how big are your balls?
So how do you got to do it? Do you got to wait a little longer? Do you have to come in being a phenom? Who gets to wear it?
I think it's got to be a McDavid, or it's got to be a Crosby.
I grew up loving Lemieux, and I
want to wear.
And he's signed off on it, right? And
yeah.
Yeah.
That, to me, that's it. Not Josh Hosang.
Yeah.
Hosang. Anyways, that was all.
Yeah, it's an interesting debate, I thought it got a little over.
We'll see how much flash is in that pan.
It doesn't look like he's
not buying. There's a whole lot there.
I think part of it is just that he's kind of got this history, fairly or not, of being a kid with some
attention issues.
I guess, yeah. So it's interesting to me, but until you're gonna start. You know, it far, far, far lesser thing here. Mitch Marner wore 93. Loved Dougie Gilmore. And at the beginning of the season, the Leafs decided all their honored numbers would become retired numbers. Dougie's told Marner 1,000 times, love that you wear that. It's an honor, right? Like, that's awesome to me.
Well, see, to me,
take it away from
to me, and now, I get,
Doug Gilmore's not
I get
Mario
where it
Lemieux.
Comes from. But yeah, to me, that's not even a...
No. But
a 93 is one quarter of a 66, really, in terms of the...
Yeah, okay.
Because what, did Dougie wear it for 3-4 years? How long?
Well, I think he wore it a long time. He was just only in Toronto for 3 or 4 years.
Did he wear it before Toronto?
I don't know if he wore it.
I don't think
so.
No,
but he wore it in New Jersey. He wore it in Montreal.
Okay, now, but those are after.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't think he, and I'm totally off the cuff here.
I don't remember either.
I don't think he wore 93 before
St.
Toronto.
St. Louis and Calgary? Yeah,
yep.
No, I don't know either.
So to me, it's really, you are talking about that time frame. And you know what? When people talk about Doug Gilmore, nobody is talking about New Jersey and Montreal.
No.
Like, honestly, those are total throwaways.
But it's amazing.
And you know what?
With Dougie, in that how short a time he was in Toronto and gets this kind of – that's entirely a market thing.
Yeah. No, for sure. But to me, as somebody out of market, and I was living sort of –
Close enough to the hub,
yeah, that I'm intimately familiar with that whole time period. But I don't think of it as one of those numbers.
No.
To me, and more importantly, and sort of segueing away from that, you sent me an email, and anybody listening, we're gonna give you, you know, clearly you're gonna do what you want to do with this. But as you listen right now with Jagr and his all that's going on with him. And you and I traded a couple of emails back and forth, right? For anybody listening, the idea that Jaromír Jagr has played for 8 NHL teams, and without looking at it right now,
just
in your head,
over. Yeah.
Just in your head, count off how many of the 8 NHL teams, not to mention, you know, his Italian KHL teams in his KHL and his Czech league teams.
Klodno or whatever.
Yeah, Klodno.
So I sent that to you, and I told you up front because I wanted you to guess as well without Googling it kind of thing. I told you I had six, and I couldn't come up with seven or eight. And then I sent another email later, and here's my
– When I went with six, I had six plus one. Six that I felt pretty sure about. The seventh one would turn out to be right, but I had no idea on the eighth one.
And here's the thing. A mutual friend of ours, Ty, I asked him the same question. Now, he only came up with four or five, but the one that you and I both missed, he had – which was Dallas. For those of you who have been, you know, I've ruined it now for you, but Dallas is on that list if you've mulled it over and whatever.
See, you and I, neither one of us had Dallas.
Right.
Right. I still
that's
have,
a trade deadline.
I still have no recollection, and I've looked at the stats, and I have no recollection of him playing for Dallas.
Yeah. So pause this here if you don't want to hear it and you're still mulling it over, because I'm about to hit it for you.
Because I'm about to ruin.
Yeah. So drafted into Pittsburgh, that huge monster deal that he goes to Washington afterwards when they can't afford him. Do you remember the big piece in that deal?
In the piece going back to Pittsburgh?
Yeah. It was a prospect. Can't miss prospect. Had to be a part of it. Been an early – Chris Beach
tour
was the centerpiece of that deal going from Washington to Pittsburgh. Well, you can Google Chris Beach while you're
– Was he a Barry Colt?
I have no idea who Chris Beach is, man.
Okay.
I just – that was the guy. I remember him having all kinds of hype. This would be around 2000.
How about Brandon Gormley?
Yeah, Patrice Cormier. There's a few of these.
But do you know the name Brandon Gormley?
Yeah, defenseman. I think New Brunswick did he play for?
Moncton Wildcats. Yeah. And he's a PEI guy.
Yeah.
He was a 13th overall draft pick. Ottawa just picked him up in some trade to play.
No.
He's got
sixth defenseman in Binghamton. Or
you know, well, because with the whole Lazar Koska trade, right? You bring back Yuri Donanpaka, right? And he's here, but he can't go down. So we needed Brandon Gormley. I'm like, hey man, I think that guy's
supposed to be a big deal.
He was a big deal. Yeah, Chris Beach. All those guys, right?
So then he goes from Washington, and you'll have to help me here because I can't remember.
Esposito and whatever else.
Angelo Esposito,
yeah.
Centerpiece of the Marian Hossa trade from Atlanta.
All those, man.
Washington deal, I don't remember if it was a trade or if he just leaves, but that he got a huge contract, something like $60 million at the time, one of the biggest contracts ever in the NHL.
$11 million a season.
Does he go to New York before or after the KHL?
Before. But he has time on both sides, I think.
Because he's coming. Yeah, I think probably
he
does.
I think he's a rangé on both sides of his KHL career.
I think part of that is that 2004-05 full season lockout where he probably goes, gets a taste of it, and comes back.
Yeah.
And then
– Well, honestly, if you looked at his career stats, there's a bunch of those.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of seasons sprinkled in with – there's lockouts. There's I got to leave because the IRS is hot on my trail. There's just a bunch of shit
he's
going on there.
He's been through all three of them now that you think about it. 94 lockout, he was already in the league. Fucking guy.
And they were saying he played in the league with Guy Lafleur. You're like, holy smokes, man, you're old.
So that's three. He goes from, I think New York, and you've obviously looked at the stats, so you'll tell me if I'm wrong. I think it was New York before the lockout, or before the KHL.
Yeah.
He came back from the KHL straight to Philly, I thought.
See, and I have looked at him, and I don't remember that.
Okay. So he did play in Philly for a couple of years.
Yes.
That's four teams. From there, I believe it's a deadline deal to Boston in 2013, where that's his fifth team. I only know that's 2013 because I know he was on that Bruins team that 4-1 with the Leafs, Game 7, all that stuff. Off to New Jersey, I believe, from there. Jersey to Dallas. So we're at seven?
See, and honestly, you've kind of got away from me in terms of...
Well, Boston was five, Jersey was six, Dallas was seven.
Yeah, and now I...
And Florida, I think, was eight.
Yeah.
So,
But I do know, and I'm pretty sure that Dallas, New Jersey, and Boston, I think we're all in one season.
All in one, okay. Could be. But New Jersey, I think he spent more than one season in New Jersey.
Yeah, but I'm saying I think there was he spent.
No, Boston, I know, was the end of the 2013 season.
Right.
That
I'm never going to forget that.
Anyways, there was a pile. There was a pile of shit that I had no idea.
If I had sent that question to you a little differently and said, and hadn't said there's eight teams, can you name them? If I'd have just said how many teams you think he's played for.
Four.
Yeah.
Or five.
I'm in that neighborhood too. It just doesn't seem like.
When you said eight, then yeah. I started going, banging my head. But if off the cuff, if you had asked me on air here today, I'm probably giving you four or five.
Yeah. I think that's probably where I am too. I remember clearly Pittsburgh. I remember clearly Washington and New York. And then you kind of go,
I can see him in the white Philly jersey with the orange on the sleeve.
Yeah.
Right? And then you go, I got the Florida. But really, Boston, Dallas, and Jersey, those are like.
Whoosh. Forgettable as shite.
Yeah. Well, now clearly the Boston thing, you're a guy.
I remember the Boston thing. See,
that's the one I was iffy on, right? I'd said to you, I have these vague recollections, but I can't picture it. I can't see it. But now that if you ask me now, in hindsight, I see him in that lame Boston jersey that says Bruins over that over that bear.
Stinks.
Yeah, like, I don't know if he's ever worn it, but to me that's...
That was, I believe, the fallback plan. I believe Aginla was going to Boston, reneged at the last second and ended up in Pittsburgh, and Boston grabbed Jagr.
Right, and then Aginla ended up in Boston the next year,
yes.
Okay, yeah, see?
Whoops.
Yeah. Yeah. And now, sorry, that was just an impromptu as I threw it at
Eight
you.
Eight teams.
Yeah, and so you see the other night, talking about old douches, right? You see the other night, Thornton gets his 1,000th assist.
Okay. Oh. No, I want to follow you there. It's just this has reminded me. Jagr now, what did we say, 68 points?
Yeah, he's total. 60-odd assists.
60-odd points.
60-odd points.
Away from Gretzky's assist total. So that's going to exclude his 900-some-odd goals.
Right.
That and Jagr's the all-time now second leading point getter in league history.
It's mind-boggling, honestly.
And he's 60-some-odd points away from only catching Gretzky's assist. And he's probably going to need two seasons to do that. Because he's, a 40-point guy now?
Yeah, if he overachieves next year, he'd get 40 or 50 points.
Yeah, so if we...
And that's as a 45-year-old guy. Yeah, I'm just saying,
maybe he collects 10 down the stretch here, and then maybe it's reachable next year. But he probably needs two more seasons for his total points just to catch Gretzky's assists.
And then you can start talking about the 900
goals.
But see, and that's the thing, right, where people go, oh, well, Gretzky, he was in a soft era of whatever. Look at the people around him.
Jagr started in the league in 1990. It's 2017.
Well, and you know what?
And he's only catching maybe his assists.
And okay.
Like, fuck. It's 30 years, man.
Yeah. Well, and that's it, right? Gordie Howe, you look at that, like Jagr. I was surprised when looking at Jagr's stats. He only has five or six plus 100-point seasons.
Now, you said a couple of those, I think you told me, were in New York.
I was surprised to see that sort of 05, 06, 07 range, right
kind
in there.
Renaissance. And
there was a season of 95 and like 112 points in back-to-back seasons.
Yeah, I thought you told me something like 220 over two seasons.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. That's it. I think it was 117 and 95. It was like right in that range. And I thought, but really, short of that, he only had three or four other seasons of above. Now, one of them was 145 points.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad.
But to me, the rest of his seasons are chock full of...
Just 50 points here, 60
50 through
points
70
there.
Points. Yeah. Yeah, like fairly generic.
Yeah.
But it's the longevity. Like with Howe. I don't know how many Art Rosses, if you want to retroactively give those, right, do you end up with?
What were your thoughts on... we'll get to Thornton.
Yeah, no problems. I'm in a
Chelios towards the end of his career. Because you get these guys, and it's kind of like Jagr saying now, but if you remember, Chelios finished his career in Atlanta.
At 48.
And he had gone down from Atlanta, and he still kept, he's like, I still like to play till 50 and whatever. At some point, you not go, you're tarnishing your fucking, like, I guess if you're still good enough, but you're not. Now you're in the AHL.
But what is Chelios' legacy?
Well, so where do you, is he a top 10 all-time defenseman for you?
No.
No, me neither. Top 20? Now you got to start counting and whatever.
No.
Yeah, I just don't think of him that way.
But he is a multiple Norris Trophy winner.
Yeah, great in Chicago. Kind of had that renaissance where he was more of a – he was a contributor, certainly, but a depth guy in Detroit later on.
Yep.
But no, I don't I don't think of him as an all-time great. And I obviously Jágr's now second in all-time NHL point getting. You have to think of him as an all-time great.
Well, yeah, 2,000 points says, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at this.
Yeah.
Sure. But like at some point, do you care at this point? Like if he plays another 3 years in Florida and then maybe one in, I don't know, some other god-awful Carolina
just hanging around. What he does, and he's playing on a line with Huberto and Barkov.
Which is their top line.
Right. No, and I think Jágr's going to end up with like 50 points.
Yep. And he's still contributing.
Hey, well, this just in, like here in Ottawa, Mark Stone's going to end up with 60 points.
Yeah.
55 to 60 points.
And 25, getting praised all over the place.
25 goals, 30 assists-ish. Yep. Right? You got the old man down there who's doing the same. Like, to me, 25 goals now in the NHL.
Yeah.
And I don't think Jágr's going to get that. But,
no.
But you are looking at his point totals being somewhere around 50 plus.
Yeah. When you wonder, like you said, Huberto and Barkov both out for. If that team had been healthy, you can probably count on another 12 points.
There's no doubt when Huberto comes back, and he's back now.
Yes.
But he had 7 points in his first four games.
Yeah,
Barkov is good. Yeah.
His totals would have been a little higher.
And so to me, and you bring up a great point with Chelios' point, right, is to me he's on a far cry from his Norris Trophy days. If you look at him, he wasn't drafted. He couldn't get a job.
Yeah.
He came up and tried to get a job somewhere in playing junior hockey, and he was a hard scrabble guy who made his way into a Norris Trophy winner, who was a point producer, right? Second half of his career, he went the other way, right? And to me,
useful part on a great team,
right? But a hard as nails, kind of guy,
yep,
right? And so when you look and fit, honestly, he was right in that Gary Roberts, Chris Chelios sort of.
Because I'm pretty sure
fitness, extending the career and making you productive late in your career.
When Chicago played Pittsburgh for the Cup, and I forget which order it was, either 91 or 92, whether Minnesota went first or Chicago went first.
Minnesota went first.
So it was the 92. He was at his prime then. He was on that Montreal team in the 86, 89 when they played Calgary in the finals. 92, he's at his peak. And he's around in 02 when Detroit wins the Cup. He's a big pickup. And he's around there. I think he's there when he wins in 08, or when Detroit wins in 08.
Oh, it's hard to say because they had Hull and Robitaille.
That was 02. I can remember Datsyuk playing with it was Datsyuk, Zetterberg, and Brett Hull. That was a line. And you go, historically, you kind of go, well, that's fun, right? Like as you cross eras a little bit, right?
Big time.
Yeah. So that's kind of cool. So anyway, just an interesting comparison. Two guys that played long after their prime, but one continuing to put up. Chelios is a tougher sell with numbers as a defenseman. Well,
and Chelios at that point, though, was a back half of your D-Cor.
Yeah.
Right? But again, tough.
Jágr's still a powerful guy.
Right. Yeah. And Ottawa just has seen them recently, and man, that line is still tough to contain down low.
Yeah.
And Jágr still from the waist down.
He's got that hockey
ass. He's a beast off,
right?
Man. Ass and legs. Like, you can't get – he puts them out, flares the heels. You can't – that's it. The puck is
– I'm keeping that.
Yep. Take a penalty.
Yeah.
Or
– I'm putting that out front.
Yeah.
Man, you know what? I'm going to wrap this up because we got a couple of sports things still here I want to ask you about, and we'll put that on Talkan Sports 117.
Okay.
We'll see you.
See you.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit TallCanAudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at TallCanAudio.